Chronic stress is associated with accelerated aging and a shrinkage in the brain's hippocampus, the region concerned with learning, memory, and finding our way around. But is the converse also true? And can we de-stress individuals and help to reverse these changes with behavioural training? Well, that's what Max Planck Leipzig scientist Sophie Volk wondered when she recruited a group of adults who were tested for stress hormones and underwent brain scans at baseline and then again after a period of social training, aiming to cut stress. And the answer appears to be yes. Levels of the stress hormone cortisol fell, and the MRI brain scans showed a small volume increase in one region of the hippocampus.
We wanted to understand how mental training impacted brain structure, focusing on the hippocampus, and how this could relate to stress reduction. The mental training was very specific, so it was about training social skills, either by targeted interaction with others, and also forms of meditation, so mental practice, over 3 months.
How do you know that people who took part in this actually learned anything through the training?
Well, we took a lot of questionnaires before and after they did training, and we also looked at their brains and also at other physiological markers, such as, in this case, cortisol.
Tell us about how you looked at their brain.
So we used a magnetic resonance imaging, and we looked at how the gray matter of the brain was shaped, but also how resting state connectivity, so the functional connections when you don't do anything, relate to other regions in the brain.
Presumably you did that at baseline, then you give people the intervention, and then you look again.
Yeah.
And where does the measuring the stress hormones come into this, the cortisol that you mentioned?
This was done during a week of measurements where people were asked at different parts of their day to measure their saliva. Cortisol was gotten out of the saliva. This was then processed to understand how it changes over the day, then used as a marker of stress.
And again, is that done on the subjects before they have any training and then after they complete the training to see if there's any effect?
Exactly.
And what did you actually find then? So when you give people these training exercises, how, first of all, let's think about their brain. How does their brain change?
Their brain changes in various ways. In this case, we looked at this hippocampus specifically, and we looked at the different subfields in the hippocampus. And here we looked at the volumetric changes, so whether the hippocampus subfield got bigger or smaller. And then we did a statistical analysis to see if a training had a certain effect on the volume of these subfields. So in this case, we saw a specific change following social affective training, so people learning to be more compassionate and empathetic in the cornu ammonum 1-3 subfield, but not in the other subfields.
How big was the difference? Because that's quite striking that you give people this short period of training and you see that reflected in literally a volumetric change in the brain. But is it a big change?
No, because you would get a headache, no? The brain cannot only grow. But so it's a very, very subtle change. But based on statistics, we find that overall there's a subtle increase in volume, maybe 1 millimeter.
Is that on both sides of the brain, Sophie, or does it tend to be on one side preferentially?
I think we had no hypothesis about there being any hemispheric differences. So actually, I was rather happy to see this happening consistently in both hemispheres because it gave me more faith in our finding.
And in both men and women, or was there any kind of sex bias?
We didn't look at sex bias. Other people have done it. And of course, there's a whole literature also on the impact of hormones on hippocampus and thinking about menstrual cycles. So one could hypothesize that there could be differences between sexes, but here we didn't look at this specifically.
What about the cortisol? How did that change?
So we saw that there was actually a reduction in cortisol, specifically after social affective training, meaning that people got less stress.
Why is it important to consider both the cortisol and stress level and what's going on in the hippocampus, though? How do you marry those two things together and what's the relationship?
The hippocampus is full of glucocorticoid receptors. It is the key region that has been implicated also in animal studies in being very susceptible to stressors and specifically cortisol.
So in other words, if you have high cortisol, you what damage or change or reprogram the hippocampal region. So if you train people...
That is the idea,
And so why would the training affect that axis?
Well, because if you then would reduce stress by training, the idea would be that this would then have a positive effect on the hippocampal integrity and structure.
So which way round do you think it is? Do you think that the training makes people less stressed and therefore their cortisol levels are lower and therefore their hippocampus is allowed to grow bigger because it's not being so stressed? Or is it that the training makes the hippocampus bigger and it makes cortisol go down and the two aren't connected?
That's a very good question. So I think it's a little bit of both, because the hippocampus is obviously not only related to stress, but also to memory and other functions. It would be a very interesting follow-up to understand like what is actually the sequence of events. But even though we took our measurements before and after the training, it's very hard to disentangle both processes. So at the moment, we don't know. Possibly if you reduce stress and thus have less cortisol, you kind of protect the hippocampus, hence it gets a little bit bigger.
What's the take-home message then off the back of this study?
That if you are part of a mental training, or if you take a mental training that reduces your stress levels, this may impact positively, like it may impact the size of your hippocampus, especially the cornu amonu.
So basically, I could be a memory marvel if I had a quiet life.
Maybe. At least the chances could be better. But of course, stress is so complex. It's not that a totally quiet life would only have beneficial effects. So theoretically, a little bit of stress may also not be that bad. But this is also something that we didn't study in this work. And I think the biggest take home is that stress impacts your brain, and by reducing levels of stress, you may also protect your brain. Again, this is not something that we looked at, but at least it suggests some relationship between a behavioral intervention, stress physiology, namely cortisol, and the anatomy of the brain.
So everything in moderation, including even stress, appears to be the message. Sophie Volk there.